the CFM studios on the Sunshine Coast. It's the Ellie and Taz podcast.
Hi, podcasters. Thanks for clicking download. We appreciate you.
You're going to enjoy it as well. Fun week for us this week. We had a heap of fun and so many sunny coasters really brought their A game.
Yeah, that's right. Like, callers just got it this week.
They just got it.
They had fun with us and we love you for that if you're one of those callers. So.
Very quickly, I want to bring up the fact that Tuesday morning, you are flying back in Tuesday morning and then you're on air a couple of hours later.
Yeah.
Should we do a phone topic where it's something like, how close was your flight back to work? Like, how close did you cut it?
Yeah, we could do that.
It could be a short layover or a very quick turnaround. I remember getting back to Darwin when I used to live there 2 or 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
On air by 5 a.m.
Yeah, I've had a similar thing.
Very quick.
When I was on brekkie, I know. All right, well, let's see. Look, if I make it back for Tuesday's show, we'll see. In the meantime, I'm off to Perth, baby.
Might just be a Taz show next week. No one will complain.
Enjoy the podcast. We'll speak to you next week.
It's Ellie and Taz for the drive home.
We want you to give us a call this afternoon and tell us, where'd your vehicle get stuck?
We've got a $50 Kings Beach Surf Club voucher up for grabs as well.
The reason we're asking is because I said to Taz today, it's a pretty slow news day. You know, we scour the papers every day. Well, not the papers. We're online.
I haven't opened a paper in...
Do you know what I did?
10 years.
I did 2 days ago at a cafe. I was like, this is fun.
What a throwback.
What a thrill. Anyway.
And then you put it straight back down and went on your phone.
Yeah, pretty much. So, all over the news at the moment, there's various stories about vehicles getting stuck places, like Nambour. Should I start with the first vehicle sticking story? Blackhole Terrace in Nambour, where the bridge is, yesterday, a big old truck got wedged under the bridge.
Oh, I wondered if that's ever happened before
Yeah, big time. It's a 3-meter bridge, so it must be a big truck. Like, how tall is your average truck?
Well, maybe 3.1 meters.
Maybe. Well, the truck drivers tried to get through and were stuck there for at least an hour, if not more, yesterday morning. So, soz to everyone that affected in Nambour.
Soz. You literally just said soz to people that were put out for the day.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they weren't put out too much. Like, they just had to divert and go a different way. You know, a bit of a detour, never hurt nobody. And the other story is yesterday also, Peter Dutton now, opposition leader, his campaign bus got stuck on a median strip in Sydney CBD.
Oh,
and it's,
well, you know what? Not bad advertising.
Well,
we're talking about it.
True, but if you watch the video, there's like 6 men all standing around pushing the bus.
Oh, you can't.
Peter Dunn's standing off to the side watching.
Nah, roll your sleeves up.
Yeah, come on, Dutto.
There was a few years ago, before you moved to the sunny coast, the rocks around Point Cartwright, I was there on a date once. And I looked down at the... Can you turn your own mic off? Is that a thing? And I looked down at the rocks and there's a boat that had actually been like washed ashore onto the rocks and had got stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about 15 guys. They tied a rope around this boat and were trying to pull it so that they could kind of eventually get it back into the water.
Yeah.
I went down and went and helped. It was fun.
Did you? Yeah. You didn't do a Peter Dutton?
Didn't do a Peter Dutton, but also 20 or 30 guys could not move this boat.
Yeah,
so I don't know how 6 guys could move a bus.
They didn't. It was stuck there for ages.
Yeah.
We'll go to Stacey in Budrum. Stace, where'd your vehicle get stuck?
My vehicle got stuck going to my uncle's engagement park. I drove from Toowoomba to the Gold Coast and drove in his driveway and thought, oh, this is a perfect car park. I wonder why no one's parked here. It wasn't until the morning that I had 4 flat tyres and parked on his only cactus bushes in his whole property. That no one was parked there. So I was really stuck in a different town, no car. Yeah.
But hang on.
How did you not see the cactus?
Stace, you parked on cactuses.
I did.
Some cacti.
Cacti.
Yes.
Did you not see the cacti?
I didn't. I've done the right thing and turned my headlights off when I entered this property. So I didn't blind everybody. And, it was the first time I've ever been there.
Yeah, fair. You know, it happens to the best of us.
Did your uncle live in the desert?
Yeah.
Like, who Who has beds of cactuses? Cacti. Sorry, cacti.
I know, right? Oh. I know. Well, they got dug up shortly.
Yeah, that's fair.
By you, I think, pulling away.
Yeah, thanks, Stace. We'll go now to Michelle from Boccarina. Michelle, where'd your vehicle get stuck?
It got stuck underneath a roller door at a hotel down the Gold Coast.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, we didn't realise that the roller door to the car park was up, and we stopped halfway looking to where to park, and it came down and hit the roof of our car and didn't stop. So I screamed at my husband to drive, and he drove, and we ripped the whole roller door off.
What?
And then no one could get in or out of the hotel car park.
Do you know what? That's on the roller door, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, surely you feel resistance, you pull back roller door. Like, that's it. I don't blame you, Michelle. I would have done the same thing.
Well, we thought that it would bounce back up, but it didn't.
Yeah.
It just kept coming down on the car.
What damage was there done to the car, Michelle?
None, because we had roof rack. So, luckily.
I love that. You got off scot-free and the hotel's like, can we have a new garage
Hello?
Door? That was not included in your room.
Anyway, it was funny. Good start to the weekend.
Oh, I can imagine. Great story. Love
Perfect.
That. Thanks, Michelle. We'll go to Nikki from North Arm. Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
We are well,
We're
thanks.
Good, Nikki.
Have you had a vehicle get stuck somewhere? Tell us about it.
Yeah, I got stuck on Fraser Island. So this was quite some time ago when I first got my licence and back then lived in Sydney. And my partner and I decided we wanted to trek across to Fraser Island, and we hired a little Suzuki's four-wheel drive Swift to get over there.
Yeah.
And anyway, over there four-wheel driving, having the time of our lives, but I was eager to have a go. So after lots of pleading and begging, he finally gave me, the steering wheel, and we went up a great big embankment and got air. And as we went over this massive sand dune, there was nothing on the other side. So we just rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled.
Oh,
fortunately,
so
we had our seat belts on, but we rolled all the way to the water's edge, and it was low tide.
What?
And this was like 20 years ago, so it was really much more quiet than it is now. And yeah, the tide came in and the doors started to lap up, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And finally somebody drove past and pulled us out so that they could then help us change the tires, because we had two flat fronts. But we were stuck there for quite some time, and it wasn't our vehicle either. So it was like, oh, God, we're going to be up for thousands and thousands of dollars.
Ugh. Remind me to never go driving with Nikki.
Yeah, lesson learned.
Don't fall drive with me.
No.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
How do you do your Weet-Bix? What's your routine with your Weet-Bix? There's a right and a wrong way, I feel. And there's a very, very wrong way that I learnt on the weekend that more than a few people have done.
Okay.
So I went down to the AFL with a mate and his family yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Down
Good on you. Proud
the
of
Gold
you
Coast.
For witnessing the superior code.
Branching
live in
out. Yeah, branching out and seeing what this AFL business is all about.
Best game you've ever seen in your life?
Not a fan.
It's the
okay.
best.
Anyway, he said that he eats his Weet-Bix hot.
Okay. You've dropped this bombshell on me.
Hot.
And said,
Weet-Bix.
This is crazy. I can't believe him.
Yeah.
The
it's
problem
terrible.
Is...
It's a terrible way to eat Weet-Bix, and it's just wrong.
I haven't eaten Weet-Bix before. So I can't share your outrage or passion or
okay.
anything here.
So what
I
he
don't
does,
know how you're supposed to. I would have thought you'd have them like porridge.
I said, take us through your Weet-Bix routine. He says, 3 Weet-Bix mm-hmm. with milk, straight in the microwave, 90 seconds. And he eats them like that.
That's how you do porridge. And isn't it like a similar
Weet-Bix
texture?
Isn't a porridge. It's a cereal. Cereal
What's a
should be
even?
Cold.
A Weet-Bix?
Wheat. Made of?
A wheat. A Weet-Bix?
One Bic.
One Bic.
One Bix of wheat.
What's it made out of?
Wheat.
Well, obviously. No, you got me there.
545-11919 Sunny Coast, how do you do your Weet-Bix? We've got a few people already calling, getting on hold. Hopefully drawing a $50 voucher to King's Beach Surf Club.
I have nothing to add to this conversation.
Well, you've never
Being
had Weet-Bix before.
Virgin,
you know
no.
what we'll do?
Yeah.
Because you've never had Weet-Bix before, everybody's suggestions and the way they all eat their Weet-Bix, We'll serve them up to you tomorrow and you can choose your favourite way.
But I think that I don't like it. I think that's why I haven't eaten it my whole life. But
maybe you, well, taste.
Maybe
change.
I wasn't doing it right.
Maybe your palate just wasn't adapted to Wheat
Yeah,
bits.
True.
Let's go to Brad from Maroochydore. Welcome to the show, mate.
Good afternoon. How are we?
Hi, Brad. We're good, thanks. Tell us, what are you doing with your Wheat Bix?
Two ways I do it, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. There's one where I'll boil the kettle.
Yep.
I'm a four Wheat Bix kind of man.
Yep.
So I'll boil the kettle, put the boiling water over the Wheat Bix, pour my milk in, and then put my sugar on top, and then bananas.
Yeah, bananas are great.
So how much boiling water are you putting in there? And also, second question, is it enough
to cover the top of them.
Okay, so is there like water down the bottom of the bowl?
Nah, so it all absorbs into the Wheat Bix.
Ah, okay. Mm. And then, so how much milk are you putting on, and is the milk hot?
The milk's cold.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I say I do it two ways. That's the other way. I'll boil the kettle, put the hot water on top, then put it in the microwave with the cold milk and make the milk warm.
Oh, see, Taz's friend does that, and
yeah,
he's mad about it.
I am. I don't think it should be done, Brad. Have you done it since you were a kid that way?
I am a mixer, so I usually, you know, through winter I'll do it that way because it's nice and cold in the morning.
And depends on the type of shower that he's had that morning. Cold shower during the summer, cold milk, you know.
Oh, okay. This is a whole new world, Taz. I'm learning.
You've opened it up.
I'm going to have to try some. All right. Thank you, Brad.
Hey, let's go to Kirsty in Beerwah. Welcome to the show, Kirsty.
Hello.
Hello, Kirsty.
Oh, my gosh. Passionate about Wheat Bix.
What's your recipe?
So my Wheat Bix recipe is a Wheat Bix with butternut margarine, and jam.
Oh, yum.
Like a set, like a piece of toast?
Yes.
So how long have you been?
Yeah.
It's the best. You've got to try. Ever since I was a kid, my mum used to make us eat Wheat Bix with milk and it goes soggy.
Yeah.
So I had to do my own thing.
Kirsty, what would you pair it with? Because it does sound very dry. Do you recommend a glass of water or something?
No, thick butter and jam.
Okay.
It just has to be thick.
So also, Kirsty, answer this for us. One Wheat Bix or one Wheat Bix?
One Wheat Bix. Wheat Bix.
One, but yeah,
just a singular Bix.
Yeah,
it's get the Bix in here.
Wheat Bix. Yeah.
Thank you, Kirsty. Good option. Love that. Love the energy. Let's go to Tara in Watulla. Tara, how do you do your Wheat Bix?
There's a system. I start with probably basically the first layer is ice cubes.
Ice cubes.
Oh yeah, it has to be like so icy cold. That's what makes it delicious.
Okay.
Then you put in the milk, so then, again, it gets as cold as it can possibly be. Then you put your Wheat Bix, fill it up to, you know, it's pretty full, and then douse it in honey. So good.
How many Wheat Bix are you doing with a full bowl there, Tara?
At least four.
At least four Wheat Bix.
So the water, does the ice melt in the milk and make the milk more watery?
No, you finish eating by the time that happens.
Oh, okay.
And what happens with the honey is because it's really cold, it kind of like caramelized, like it sort of gets a bit hard and chewy and yummy. Oh, so good.
Do you do this every morning, Tara?
Oh, no. This is not a breakfast. This is an afternoon snack vibe.
Oh,
yeah. Great.
Like, you know, at the end of the day, instead of a beer, you have, you know, a nice cold Wheat Bix.
A hard-earned thirst and a nice cold Wheat Bix.
Thank you, Tara. You're in the draw for the $50 to spend as well. We'll be in touch if it's you.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Tara.
All right, let's go now to Shani from Minyama. Shani, what are you doing with your Wheat Bix?
It's not so much me, but this is handed down from my grandmother and to my mother.
Here we go, a family recipe.
A family recipe. So condensed milk and then hot water and then mix it up till it's more like a porridge consistency.
Oh, wow.
So you uncondense the milk and then...
Basically.
Uncondense the Wheat Bix as well.
Sweet.
Uncondensed the milk is funny. Condensed milk, hot water, and then Wheat Bix, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's it. Keep it simple, don't microwave your Wheat Bix. You're not meant to put cereal in the microwave.
That's what my mate does. He swears by it.
Porridge goes in the microwave, doesn't it?
Not like a, it's like putting rice bubbles in the microwave. You can't do that.
That's true. That is weird. Okay.
It's a hill that Shani will die on, and I agree. I'm on the same hill. Thank you very much.
Shani, I feel that you've trusted us with your family recipe, so thank you. That's very big of you.
That's all right. You'll have to give it a try.
Looks like I'll have to tomorrow on the show.
Ellie's going to have about 18 bowls of Weet-Bix by the end of this. Thank you, Shani.
Thanks, Shans. We'll go to Dale in Caloundra. Dale, what's your Weet-Bix recipe?
Well, the first one is you've got to have the original Weet-Bix.
Oh, What's the alternative to original?
Well, the first ones when they was ever brought out was Weet-Bix, and they, I think they've got another name for Vitabrix or something, ain't they now?
Oh, okay, so we're going original Weet-Bix. What's the routine, Dale?
I generally used to have about six with cold milk and sugar.
Regular milk and just sugar on top. You know what? That is a man I can get behind.
Yeah, that
is a
sounds
system.
Very Taz.
Yep, that's like me.
That's the only way to eat them.
Yep, I agree. Do you stack all six in like a Jenga formation, Dale?
Yes, I stack them up and pour the milk over them and the sugar and let it soak in.
Good man. Can you play the applause sound effect? Because Dale, I think, has nailed what I think is the correct way for Weet-Bix.
Wow, that's huge.
Oh, you know what? She doesn't even have her sound effects ready, Dale. Don't worry. Well, just imagine there is one. We'll put one in post.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dale. Have a great arvo, mate.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
MasterChef Australia is back on your TVs tonight on Channel 10. Joining us from the MasterChef headquarters is Judge Poe. Hello, Poe.
Hello, guys. How are you going? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming back. And thanks for bringing MasterChef back as well, because is this season 17?
It's season 17. And yes, you should thank me because I was personally responsible.
It's all on you.
Now, this season's a little bit unique, Poe. Take us through it. What's all this Back to Win all about?
Okay, Back to Win is contestants that have been plucked from many, many seasons, and they've all come back to have another go at the trophy.
Amazing. This is good. Redemption. I love a redemption story.
Redemption.
A lot of people have stories.
There's actually three people that have been in it for the third time, and all three of them have come second. So they mean business.
Is it true? I read it something earlier today saying that you guys film for 5 months of the year. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
That's huge.
Wow.
So contestants have to be away from their families for 5 months?
Yeah, if you go from beginning to end, yes, you do.
Taz, should I go on MasterChef and get 5 months off the show?
Yeah, bring somebody else into this show for 5 months. Maybe Poe will do it with me. We could be Poe.
Nah, she's busy.
Maybe we can do an exchange program.
Speaking of exchange programs, I've just finished watching Survivor, another great Channel 10 product. Have you guys ever thought of a crossover between Survivor and MasterChef, where the MasterChef contestants cook food and the Survivor contestants get to not eat it? They just have to look at it, but they're not allowed to eat it because they have to have their beans and rice.
That really would be a challenge, wouldn't it? I think it would send them bonkers. That's actually been a show that I fantasised about getting on, but I know too many people that have been on it. Can you imagine? That would be so hardcore.
If I rocked up the first day and I met my tribe and I saw Poe on my tribe, I go, great, we're eating well, guys. We're eating well. Thank you very much. Poe, I do have a quick question. Is part of you, because you've been on before and you're now seeing people, you know, come back from your season and pretty much every season in the past coming back, does part of you go, I wish I was a contestant?
Yes, I talk about it all the time. I even talk about it on the show when I'm presenting. I do, because there's just something so uniquely electric about being a contestant that comes from going into a challenge, feeling you're going to, like, absolutely poop your pants with fear, and then coming out of it with a winning dish. And it's like, how did I even do that? Because every challenge feels like a fever dream. And there's something, like, so affirming when you go through an experience like this day after day for months and you survive it. It's like, wow, I am courageous. I do have ability. I'm capable.
A couple of weeks ago, Poe, I had to cook Easter lunch for my family, and I tried to make this, like, roast pork dish with a nice Vidalia onion sauce that went with it. The problem was I didn't realise that apple cider and apple cider vinegar were not the same thing. And so I bought half a cup of apple cider vinegar in the sauce. Have you ever done anything like that or just me?
Yeah, back in the day, I've done lots of weird things. I didn't know what equipment was. I thought a blender was the same thing as a food processor.
I remember dumping,
I dumped pastry into a blender. Can you imagine? That did not go well.
No.
Taz, yeah. Don't act like you know what that... Taz doesn't cook either.
I know. No, I know all about that, Poke.
Oh, well, that makes me feel slightly better about my apple cider faux pas.
Oh, yeah, totally. And my mum, who's like a hardcore seasoned baker, she's put salt instead of sugar into desserts.
Great.
And yeah, it happens to the best of them.
There you go. All right, there's hope for me left in the MasterChef universe.
Absolutely. I only started cooking properly when I was like 35. So, you know, you've got heaps of time.
I've got 2 years.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm good to go.
Yeah, you've got heaps of time.
Fo, it's been a pleasure to chat once again. MasterChef Australia back to win. It premieres tonight, 7:30 p.m. on 10 and 10 Play. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, guys. Thanks for the support.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
Now, if you've missed our show for the last couple of weeks, something pretty big has been happening, and through the magic of radio, let's take you back.
A couple of weeks ago, we stumbled across a money-making opportunity for the Ellie and Taz show.
The Sunshine Coast National Art Prize of 2025.
Art prize?
An art prize.
Like...
So there is a competition going on
Picasso.
At the moment. Yes. Put on by the council.
Yeah.
The major prize is $25,000 cash.
Despite not being super skilled in the artistic world, red.
Roy Jibiv.
Yeah. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet.
Well done.
We decided we were going to give it a crack. We spoke to the director of the Caloundra Regional Gallery.
The bar is up there, guys. I don't know if your skill base is up to it.
Would all the 400 entrants classify themselves as artists? Because that could be where we're falling behind a little bit. We've never really picked up a paintbrush before.
Most of them are pretty proficient at their career and they would call themselves professional artists.
And while I feel like she didn't have a lot of faith in us, we'd already decided what we were spending our winnings on.
Have previous winners also bought rickshaws with their prize money?
I don't know. We'd never really asked previous winners what they've used the money for.
So we thought we'd speak to a previous winner ourselves. Peter Hudson has won the prize before, and he gave us some advice on just how to get the job done. What advice would you give to some up-and-comers in the art world to win this prize?
Oh, just believe in yourself. Don't listen to anyone else. Just get a good idea and work your backside off.
Well, I reckon we've covered a lot of that, Tassie. We don't listen to other people. We've got that box ticked.
I hardly listen to you.
We believe in ourselves, absolutely. That working our butts off, though, that's going to be the part to hold us back. So then it was time to decide what our artwork was going to be, and we had this fabulous suggestion from Bree from Kiwana.
Look, I think you guys should just rig it and just do the most Sunny Coast things that you can think of. Like the big pineapple, just anything Sunny Coast and put it in there.
Or like so a big old montage.
It's like a class photo of 2025.
So with the idea locked in, all that was left to do was create the magic.
You know, Stringy Bark Road feeds roundabout. You need to stand there with the kangaroos behind you.
Oh.
I reckon it has to be Mount Coolum.
I reckon Big Pineapple.
And when you go down this dirt track, you can get the most beautiful photos of pineapple plantations with the Glasshouse Mountains in the background.
And who was going to be in it?
There's nothing more Sunshine Coast than lifesavers.
I reckon the Sunshine Coast Chapel Watch, the guys that take care of all the drunk people down on Ocean.
I reckon you really got to have the local mayor, Miss Brigitte Natale.
And which Sunny Coast products were going to be in it?
There's most definitely got to be Your Mate's Brewery.
I was thinking Nobby's, you know, the undie brand that's made on the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, I do.
I reckon it's Kenilworth Bakery.
So now we're getting our logistical hats on. Can we make the Sunshine Coast with the most Class of 2025 photo happen? Keep listening over the next week to find out.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
So I went down to the Broncos game a couple of days ago to see them take on the Bulldogs. Very rainy. That was that Thursday night, Friday morning where just the storms came through.
Oh, my goodness. They were crazy.
However, the best way I find to get down to Suncorp, everybody has a slightly different technique. I'll drive down to Chermside and then get the free buses in and out. On the way back, though, the bus back to Chermside, I saw something that's going to need Ellie Chaney investigation.
Stop it. I thought you'd never ask.
It's my first case that I'm bringing to Ellie Chaney investigations. I work here for free.
You're my intern.
Yeah, I make the coffees
and
welcome people around. And I don't think you pay me.
No.
But I've brought a case because the cushion of the seat next to me sticking out of the side had a folded up playing card. And I looked at it and went, hang on a second, is there a magician in town? What's going on here? I didn't want to touch it because it was on a bus in the middle of Brizzy. And it looked like a dirty. It looked dirty. I was like, who's put that there?
Well, Taz, your intern skills are not great there because being a problem solver and investigator that we are, Ellie Chaney Investigations, the opportunity to solve the mystery was right in front of you. You could have just picked it up and looked at it.
You could only see the back of the card. So I grabbed it.
Oh, you did? Oh, well, then I take that back.
And it was an ace.
Okay.
An ace of spades. However, I opened it up and it had a name and a phone number on the inside of the card. Mystery man called Aaron.
Aaron.
And we have a mobile number for him.
Okay.
I want to know, you being my boss.
Yep.
Do we want to just randomly call it?
Absolutely. I mean, radio broadcasting laws mean we can't do it right now live on the air, but absolutely at some stage we're going
to
do it.
Okay, so we should type it in and have a chat to him off air before going on air?
Yes.
I've got the number. I've
what
got
do you
the
think,
name.
What do you think his intention is by leaving it?
Drug deal.
I was thinking more like beautiful romance. Oh, maybe, like he's looking to meet someone.
Yes, maybe beautiful romance.
And you've gone straight to the underworld, of the Brisbane underworld.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a card left on a bus.
Yeah, so it's an ace of what?
Ace of spades.
Ace of spades. What does that mean? I'm going to look up ace of spades mythology.
Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, to see if there's anything. One theory suggests the Ace of Spades symbolism lies with the sword of the executioner who's responsible for carrying out death sentences.
Oh, my gosh.
So maybe it means the first person who opens the card.
Yeah. Well, I got a little scared. I folded the card up and I put it back on the seat. So
I didn't
keep the card with me. I took a photo of the number and I went, this will be great for the radio. And then I put it back because I didn't want to be,
dead, executed, apparently.
Yeah.
According to this.
Mumbo jumbo.
It's often seen as the most powerful card in a deck of cards and has been used in a variety of contexts, including wartime, music, fashion.
What?
Oh, the wartime thing was much more threatening.
I was going to say, it got less threatening as we go down the list. Okay, well, I want to chat to Aaron. I want to know why, firstly, he's put his name on the card.
Yes.
And secondly, if he is looking for maybe romance. Has he found someone?
Could this mean, could this be the start of something beautiful? Could you and Aaron be? No, what you're going for.
No, I'm more of a sort of a Queen of Hearts kind of guy.
Fair enough. All right, this mystery shall be solved by the end of the week. And if you are Aaron, call the show.
Yeah, big fans. We're big fans.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
I mean, I want to take you back to Thursday night. That weather came out of nowhere.
I was driving through most of it, down to Brizzy for the Broncos game. Then we sat in it through the Broncos game and then to drive back. And I had to drop my dad off in Bly Bly and it flooded about just after midnight.
Yeah, more flooding in Nambour as well. The rainfall was incredible. The Nambour dawn service got cancelled, I believe, because, of course, Anzac Day.
Yep.
Friday morning, I was lying in bed Thursday night being like, is it going to get called off? You know, like the weather was hectic.
Yep.
I went to the Moolabar one. Luckily, only trickled down by Friday morning.
Cool.
But a lot of people weren't so lucky on Thursday night. Some places copped it so hard, like Burpengary. On the news over the weekend, 17-year-old Bloom Commode was on the news. She was living in Burpengary. And have a listen to what happened at her place.
So I was laying in my room and it was about like 2:30 something, like it was pretty late, and I heard this big bang and I didn't really think of anything of it, and I was about to go to bed, so I put my phone on charge and I'm just watching TikTok on my bed, and then this big bang and everything went white and my whole body started shaking, everything was exploding, and then because I had my phone in my hands, the electric current went into me and my whole arm went numb. And it just felt like I was almost having a seizure. Everything was on fire, so I was like, I need to get out of here. and I grabbed my dog and I was like, I'm out, and I left.
So wow. Their house got struck, and as a result, all of the electrical appliances in the house have all blown. What? She's been holding her phone, like she said, with it plugged into the wall, and actually got struck by lightning through her phone, through the wall, through the phone. Isn't that crazy? And she goes on to say, like, you know, she went to the hospital and they said, we've never seen anyone recover this quickly from being struck by lightning.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
545-11919, Sunny Coast, what got struck by lightning?
I know. I love this topic because you think it doesn't happen, right? But living in Queensland, it happens.
So many people have stories, and we've got prizes for you as well. $50 Kings Beach Surf Club vouchers up for grabs. 545-11919, what got struck by lightning?
A family in Burpengary over the weekend, a young 17-year-old girl, she got struck by lightning through her phone being plugged into the wall. She had a good sense of humour about it, though. Have a listen.
It entered from my phone into my arm, and then it exited out my leg.
Yeah, your butt.
It literally came out of my butt. Now, I want superpowers, and if I don't get them, that's going to be sad, but I'm going to go get a lotto ticket and see what happens.
Fair.
Great.
So fair, sister. So we want to know what got struck by lightning. Rob in Palm Woods, have you been struck by lightning? What's your story?
No, my daughter did last Halloween. It was a massive storm out of Palm Woods.
I remember.
She was dressed up as an angel, and she went down to the local park, and the actual... where the pavilion sort of thing over the barbecue got struck by lightning, and it went through, and she was in the barbecue, and it actually went straight through her, and the wings that she had on were all made of metal, and she come back and she had burnt marks on her back, and the whole wings were all burnt, like just crucified.
What?
Wow.
You're kidding. So did they like burst into flames on her back, or did they just disintegrate?
No, just you could tell the whole thing was singed, and so it was like, you know, she come back all shaken and all that sort of stuff, so had to monitor her that night. But that was pretty full on and pretty scary, and that's like, I think it's the second year in the row we've had a storm on Halloween.
Yeah, Tassie and I were out at Bly Bly that day. Remember, we were supposed to broadcast live while doing trick-or-treating, and it was just pelting down with rain.
We just couldn't get around, but we managed to get a lot of candy. I won't even go into the symbolism of dressing as an angel. Struck by lightning.
That is insane.
Yeah, wow.
Do you think if she'd been the devil, she would have been as lucky?
Mate, exactly right.
Yeah.
Very, very lucky that night. There was a couple of kids around her, but, it's only because she was sitting on top of the barbecue, and obviously they're a stainless steel top, and it hit the top and bang, went off. Like, crazy.
How old is she, Rob?
She's 16.
And how does she describe it?
She just didn't know what really happened at the start, like a massive shock, and she said her whole body started pulsating. And, and then all of a sudden she had to rip them off because, obviously, you know, she had a low-cut top on as well. So, you know, so the whole back of her back was bare and they had the wings there. So that whole burnt, the whole back was red. So, she come back and, so we still got them as proof. So, so that we tell that story every Halloween now, and cross fingers we won't have any more storms in Halloween because it really ruins the whole day.
Yeah, it totally was. Last year's was terrible. Rob, if you've got a picture, can you please send it to our Instagram? That is fascinating of a story, honestly.
It's Ellie and Taz for the drive home.
Sunny Coast, I've been on the show for 18 months and I've been trying my entire time to really know what's going on behind the eyes with Ellie. There's a lot going on, but also nothing at the same time.
That's a pretty good way to put it.
And so on the weekends, you know, we say goodbye to each other on a Friday and then we don't talk. For 2 or 3 days at a time. And rogue stuff.
It's a beautiful break for me.
It is.
I quite enjoy that. Favorite part of my week.
And stuff gets posted online. I go, what is this? Oh, Ellie's posted on her story. Let's check this out. Mm. And I click on your story on Saturday, I think it was. Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday, Sunday morning.
You posted. Mm. Actually, do you want to share with the Sunny Coast what you posted? Because
I'd love to.
And actually, a majority of people think that it's the worst thing on the internet that you've posted.
So I went for a lovely walk on Sunday morning.
I don't need the story.
No,
this isn't a recipe online.
You're absolutely getting it. I woke up Sunday morning after being housebound for 2 days with an illness.
No, this is too much. You posted a picture of a stick on the beach.
Yeah.
And there was nothing else around. It's literally just sand and stick. And the caption says, decent stick.
It was a decent stick. So this is the thing, Taz.
Yeah.
I don't believe that when you're out in nature and you see a decent stick, you're not impressed by it. Like there's something about finding a good stick that just it brings out a childlike wonder in you.
There's Instagram pages with millions of followers.
Correct.
Official stick reviews.
Yes. I know.
Great.
I had multiple people send that to me in response to my stick photos. So yes. Like, send this to official stick reviews.
They're going, get this photo off my feed.
No.
Send it somewhere else.
It's good gear, mate. Honestly,
Can you read out some of the replies that you got?
Oh, sure. But the thing about that stick is I was down at Cotton Tree when I found it and I did so much with it. I spun around in a circle.
Why wasn't that filmed or put online?
Because I only thought to do it after the decent stick photo was after I dropped the stick on the ground, went to say goodbye to it and thought I'm going to commemorate this occasion with a decent stick photo.
Some of the worst internet I've ever seen. So the majority of people are going with worst thing on the internet.
Rude.
Only 40% of people are saying it's entertaining.
Okay.
And I think a few of them have misclicked.
One
if I'm
person.
Honest.
I appreciated it. There isn't enough stick content, and it's about time there was. I agree. It was a decent stick.
That's it? That's it? That's all you love?
I got laugh reacts
from
people.
Yeah, laugh reacts is good.
Hate
reacts. How many unfollows?
One person did respond saying, literally, why?
Yeah. I think I know who that was.
You absolutely
our receptionist.
Do know who that is.
We've got photos of it up on our story.
Yeah, it is. To decent stick.
That was you replying to your own story.
My friend Stacey.
No one says,
yeah, it is
like that.
Another
unironically.
Person sends official stick reviews to me.
Sunny Coast.
Good gear.
Sunny Coast, if you want to see a photo of this boring stick.
On my show?
Then
how dare you?
You can head to our Instagram, 919CFM on Insta. It's on our story and you can review it. You can say it's entertaining. You can defend Ellie.
It's a good stick.
Or slam it for what it deserves and hit it with a worst thing on the internet.
You know what? Send me pics of your sticks.
Excuse
these
me?
These are solicited. No, these are
solicited
stick pics.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
And we have our blinders on. We have one target. It is to take the most Sunny Coast photo ever taken.
Absolutely. We're going to submit it for the Sunshine Coast National Art Prize and we're going to win ourselves $25,000 in the process.
Thank you very much. But we do have to work out who is going to be in it. We've got a couple of people in mind.
We're kicking it off in a big way, Tazzy. We put the call out to the people last week to say who should be in the most Sunshine Coast photo ever.
Yep.
And the name that just kept coming up was our Mayor, Rosanna Natoli, who joins us now. Hello, Mayor.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to our show. It's nice to be talking. Last time we spoke to you was very Cyclone Alfred specific chat, so it's nice to be past that.
Yes, it is. It is nice not to be talking about disaster on such a spectacular day. So that is a nice change.
It is indeed. Now, Mayor Rosanna, we've been talking about this on our show for a couple of weeks now. We want to enter the National Art Prize, but we think we need your help. Would you do us the honour of being in our Coast with the Most class photo?
Oh, here's a drum roll! Oh, yes!
She's going to do it! You would not believe it!
Hang on, so Rosanna Natoli's doing her own sound effects now because Ellie's not bringing the drum roll.
Oh. Here we go, drum roll! Yes, yes, fantastic!
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
No, you beat me to it. Wow, that is incredible. Do you think that this art project has what it takes to go all the way, Rosanna?
Well, I do know that we are looking for contemporary, different, original, something that's iconic Sunshine Coast. So if that's what the judges are looking for, I think you might have a shot.
This is what we thought, right? We thought let's be teacher's pet to the judges.
Totally.
Suck up to them a little bit. Yeah. Fill the criteria.
That's what we do well on this
show. Let me just put this out there.
Yeah.
I have absolutely nothing to do with any of the selection panels. So I'm just talking like anyone else, talking off the cuff, saying, yes, this is a great idea. Absolutely no credibility on the artwork page.
You know what? We spoke to the director of the Caloundra Regional Gallery, Joe, last week on the show, and she said the same thing, but I reckon if push came to shove, you both could pull some strings.
I'm sure that's not ethical, but let's just roll with it now.
We'll give you a cut of the 25 Gs. Just kidding, kidding.
Speaking of the 25 Gs that are up for grabs, if we end up winning it, Rosanna, we've talked a little bit on this show that we might be buying a show rickshaw. rickshaw, would you want to ride around in our show rickshaw one day?
Can I reserve the right to see the rickshaw before I your hands?
You may. That's fair. We might need to get our rickshaw licenses too, Tassie. But that's, you know, that's a hurdle to
much
cross.
Much
yeah, particularly a permit. We've got all of that ticked off.
That's a really great point. All right, Rosanna, we will lock you in, I think, front row of the photo.
Totally.
I think Rosanna's got to be front and centre.
Yep.
Thank you for helping us with our submission.
Well, it sounds great. How very, very exciting. Can't wait.
Sunny Coast, if you want to help us out with this Sunny Coast photo that we're putting together, we do need your submissions. Who do you think you should be in it? What locations should be involved? And businesses that are super Sunny Coast iconic, let us know on our socials.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9.
Yesterday we put the phone out there, 545-11919, and we said, Sunny Coast, how do you eat your Weet-Bix? And you didn't disappoint.
Phone lines lit up with so many different ways to do your Weet-Bix. So we thought today, having never tried Weet-Bix before, I'd put it to the test.
So we're in the tiny little sort of cupboard under the stairs, Harry Potter bedroom.
The tasting room, I call it.
Okay, yeah, let's do a tasting room. So this one is first up, cold milk and sugar. Dale from Caloundra. This is a favourite from me. This is the right way to eat Weet-Bix.
Is it supposed to be that soggy?
It's been soggy. We've made a lot of these. Here we go.
But like, is this how you eat it? This level of soggy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a
paste. No, try and get that top layer there with the sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, her face looks. Come on. Oh.
That makes me remember why I don't like Weet-Bix.
Oh, yuck. Okay. All right, let's...
Yuck. The texture, the taste, all of it sucks.
What about this one? Brad from Maroochydore has said boiled water, milk, sugar, and honey and banana.
Okay. A lot of ingredients. Mmm. Oh, hot is way better.
No.
And the banana, great addition. Banana and honey, good pairing.
Oh, that's terrifying to me. Okay, Brad's going to love that. What about Tara from Watulla? So this is where they start to get a little weird, I think. Ice cubes, milk, and honey.
Very cold. Yeah, that's way better than the first one, the room temperature milk.
Sorry, Dale.
Dale, you're out. You suck. Not you as a person, but your Weet-Bix do. the coldness.
You're going in for seconds from this one.
Yeah, I really like the honey.
All right, this is... We've got two in front of us now. These are the dry Weet-Bix. This is not my forte here. Dry with butter and jam. Kirsty from Biwa, she's going in. You can hear the crunch.
Oh, my God. It's so flaky, but it's like I have no moisture in my mouth.
You're going to need to pair it with something, I feel, Kirsty. You can't just raw dog a Weet-Bix.
Well, it seems in my very limited and new knowledge of Weet-Bix, it can be too dry and it can be too soggy.
Yes.
And there's not much room for in between.
You've got about a minute before it gets too soggy once you put something on it. Jam and butter normally goes on a scone. Is it as good as a scone?
No, nor is it as good as toast.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, jam toast, way better.
The bar is low. Sorry, Kirsty. Okay, finally, dry Weet-Bix with peanut butter and diced onions. This is from Hugh from Budrum. I think he's having us on.
Yeah,
but...
Hugh, this is a stitch up, mate. But I actually like onions and I love peanut butter, so...
She's going in.
There could be something in this.
Oh, your breath.
I know, my breath's going to be so bad for the rest of the show. It's actually not that bad. I think less is more when it comes to the onions.
Yes, you've put half an onion on it.
But not actually as bad as you'd think.
If you had to eat Weet-Bix right now, how are you doing it?
I think I'm either doing the boiled water, milk, sugar, honey, banana from Brad from Maroochydore or the ice cubes, milk and honey, Tara from Watulla.
Well done, guys. Hey, if you've got weird Weet-Bix concoctions, let us know on our socials, 919CFM.
CFM.
Tassie?
Yeah.
I kind of was in a drag race today.
Oh, I mean, you've often got boring stories you add to this,
this
show.
This is a good one.
This could be a good one.
Yeah, this is a good one. So,
actually, no. You were on your e-scooter,
yes!
weren't you?
Yes! So, I had an appointment in Mooloolaba this morning, and so I had to e-scoot from Maroochydore to Mooloolaba, which is a decent scoot.
Yeah.
And I was coming along Plaza Parade and I got to the lights. I'm on the footpath, bear in mind, but I'm waiting for the little green man to cross.
Yep.
And I pull up to the intersection and there's a woman on a push bike. Oh.
Yeah, but also, you've got the power of electricity behind you.
Yeah, I know. But that doesn't make it any less cool, Tassie. So she's sitting there, I'm sitting there, for what felt like eternity. We're right next to each other.
I don't think this can get less cool. Just letting you know.
We're right next to each other. We don't acknowledge each other physically or verbally.
Okay.
But there's an energy in the air, Taz. Okay. I know she's feeling it as well because yeah, right. I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
And I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with her and we're just eyes set on the green man waiting for him to go off. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I got to beat this lady because if I don't get in front of her, she gets front position on the footpath. Yeah. We're about to cross a little bridge.
Yep.
There's no overtaking. I'm stuck behind her. And I thought, this is the moment that the EV rises to power. If it hasn't already, if Elon Musk hasn't done his best to make electric vehicles fly, this is the moment. So
you're against pedal power. Like, I back you any day of the week. You can fly on that thing.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't have a very fast e-scooter. I'm not one of the kids riding around with the souped-up e-scooters. Mine is very slow, very safe.
You got the Nano one.
Yeah, I've got the Nano one, and I'm quite happy with that. So I get up next to her. And she looks over at me, the green man changes, and boom, both of us accelerate like none other. And then all of a sudden she starts to falter a little bit. She doesn't fall. You're looking at me like I've nudged her off her bike.
I think if she fell off your bike, her bike, you would have just kept going.
Oh, yeah, I would have won
the race. You wanted to win that much.
I would have won the race, but sure enough, I streaked ahead and I beat her.
Was it close?
I don't know. I didn't look back, Tess. I didn't look back at my loser competitor.
Eat my dust, old woman.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
Yesterday around this time, I told a story. I went to the Broncos game on Thursday night. The way I'd like to get there is park at Chermside, catch the bus to Suncorp, and then back again. When I was on the bus on the way back to Chermside, I looked at the seat next to me and I saw a folded up playing card. Mm. Couldn't see what card it was, whether it was an ace or a two or whatever. And I left it there for 10 minutes and I kept looking at this card, kept looking at it. I went, all right. I grab the card, I uncurl it, and there is a note written on the playing card from what I assume is a local magician.
Of course.
And all it says is Aaron and a mobile phone number.
So you brought it to Ellie Chaney Investigations, my investigative company.
Yep.
And I said, I will solve this mystery for you. Let's call him on the show.
Let's do it.
All right.
Hello,
Aaron.
Who's this?
G'day, it's Taz calling from the Sunny Coast. I found your number, mate, on a playing card that you left on the bus.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember doing that?
No, I don't. Oh, okay. Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, Sunshine Coast. Hang on. So I'll fill you in because I went to go see the Broncos game last week and I caught a bus back to Chermside and your card was in the seat next to mine.
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
I pulled it out and went, I've got to call this number.
Hello, Aaron. My name's Ellie. I'm Taz's friend.
Oh, hi.
Okay.
You know what I thought you were? I just found a phone. It's very badly damaged.
Oh.
And I texted a number and I thought that you were going to be that.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you're a good Samaritan.
You are.
Okay, we've got to talk about this card.
We
so
have to.
You have no idea that this card is floating around Brisbane with your phone, your name and number on it. Is that right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's literally a playing card.
Yeah, it's the Ace of Spades. And it was on one of the
spades.
Yeah.
And that's the Motorhead song, isn't it?
It sure is.
Is it likely that one of your friends has put it out there for you? Maybe like to, you know, if you're looking for love or something? Why would
it
be out there?
I don't know, maybe. Possibly.
So you're obviously not part of like a spy organization and you're looking to recruit, because that's what we thought maybe you were doing.
Oh, okay. No.
No? Okay.
He's just part of a phone returning business. He wants to return the lost phone. That's all he's after.
Well, it's pretty badly damaged.
Yeah.
It does operate, but the person that might want it back, I think they'd chuck the phone almost. It's so badly damaged.
Where are you now? Where'd you find it? Are you in Brizzy?
Milton.
Ah, okay. All right. Probably none of our listeners then. Otherwise, we'd put the call out for you.
Out of our range. Aaron, lovely to meet you, mate. But just letting you know, you've got those playing cards out there floating around with your number on.
That's wild.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll get random calls every now and then. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It sure is.
Are you out of interest? Doesn't hurt. Are you single and looking for love?
Single, but I don't think love's an interest to me. I've been in enough of that.
Oh, last question, Aaron, because it was on a playing card. Are you a magician?
Yeah.
A magician, no.
No. Okay. Oh. All our theories have been shot.
Not in real life, anyhow.
Aaron, it was good to chat to you, mate. Good luck returning that phone.
Okay, bye.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
Very hard to really stay on task in the last couple of days because your phone keeps going off. People are getting more texts than ever before.
Oh, I feel like the most popular gal in the universe. Between all the scam calls that I keep getting,
yeah.
One from Ballina will not stop calling me. I'm like, what? Who do I know down in Ballina? And every night they're calling me.
Same time?
Yeah, around the same time.
You need to answer it.
No, I'm... Well, remember I got scammed from answering a phone call from an unknown number ever since
PTSD.
Then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not answered unknown numbers. But you're right. Phone keeps blowing up from scam calls and I am being inundated with texts from the Trumpet for Patriots party.
I feel like I'm the only human on this country that is not getting these texts.
Yeah, you...
I don't know how I've dodged this bullet.
I don't know how either. Do you think it's because, you know how like you get calls and texts when you're popular?
No.
Do you think it's because maybe... You're not popular.
Might be.
Maybe the Trumpets don't want you to vote for them.
Maybe they're only texting the cool boys and girls
maybe.
Out there.
I've got a few from them.
How many? How many are you getting, actually? Because I don't get any.
I got one on Saturday and I got one yesterday.
People are fuming about it online. There's been comments and posts and all sorts just going, what is going on?
Well, I don't know how they got my number. For starters.
Well, I mean, if you sign up to websites or anything, surely that it'll get your number that way.
Oh, so have they bought my details from someone?
Oh,
maybe. And also, they've given me no option to opt out.
Well, that's what I've done a little bit of research in. So promotions over text are regulated by an Australian Consumer Media Authority, or ACMA, covering all commercial and electronic communications that advertise, promote goods and services, etc.
We're 60 minutes in right now.
Hang on.
This is an investigation.
Hang on. But during local, state and territory or federal election campaigns, the parties are exempt from spam and marketing laws.
Oh, so they're allowed to.
Because they're not technically going for purchases. They're just trying to win over your vote. I don't like it. But it does mean that parties don't legally need to send out an opt-out option or disclose where they get your phone number from.
Cheeky, cheeky.
Interesting, right?
We do like radio surveys. Do you reckon we have the same rules? Can we just slide into people's DMs and be
it's Ellie and Taz.
Vote for Ellie and Taz.
No opting out. Soz.
Yes, Soz. We're
Soz
in here forever.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFM.
Hey, I want to draw attention to a story that's come out of Brisbane over the weekend.
You've fallen in love with a criminal.
No. Whoa. I have not fallen in love with a criminal. Okay, I want to make that very clear.
She loves a bad boy.
No, I love my boyfriend. Thank you very much. I have seen this man commit a crime.
Right.
And thought I would never personally do it.
Okay.
Nor should anyone be doing it because it's a crime. However, it's kind of something I've always wanted to do.
Okay. Okay. Steal lots of money.
No.
Oh.
A jogger has been caught breaking into a family's property down in New Farm in Brizzy.
Okay.
And all he's doing is going for a swim in their pool.
Oh, you see people do this all the time.
He's in exercise gear.
Even on the sunny coast, this happens quite a bit. The community boards go off when this sort of stuff happens.
Yeah, well, they've got very clear CCTV footage of this guy.
Right.
He's come in. He obviously goes for a run and then wants to cool down because he's always in exercise gear with his headphones.
Yep.
And then he just sneaks in, checks that no one's home,
goes
out the back, uses the pool, does his warm down, his cool down. So he's got the whole thing's on CCTV.
Is it like a mansion?
I saw a sauna in there, so I reckon they're doing all right.
He's probably run past this place and gone, I haven't seen anybody live here for 6 months.
Yeah, but they do. They live there, the people who do live
there. Is it a little holiday home?
No, well, they've come out and said, no, I'm pretty sure they live there. Anyway.
He's probably gone, they're never home.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's probably
who's it going to hurt? You know,
exactly.
I'm not stealing anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
He does a little cheeky wee.
or that's a crime. if the trespassing wasn't a crime, weeing in a pool, definitely a crime.
Wouldn't you, though?
Wee in the pool?
You've broken into somebody's home.
No, I'm not weeing in their pool.
Why not?
Because
it's
you don't do
pool.
That.
It's not your pool.
Like, how hard is it?
You're
people who wee in pools, I don't understand. Like, just get out and go to the toilet.
No adults.
You're an adult.
Yeah, no adults do it.
I hope not.
But
people
at
pool bars in Bali, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah.
We were there last year. You think people were peeing
absolutely
there?
Absolutely. many people were peeing at the
pool?
There
was a blonde girl sitting next to me for most of the day. Do you think she was peeing in the pool?
Robbo from sales, oh, probably. Yeah. I got you there. Wasn't me.
I tried.
Anyway, so this guy, yay or nay to breaking in and using
someone's pool? No, okay. I lose my career if I go, yeah, go for it.
True. But sometimes when you walk along like Bedina and Minyama and stuff and you see those really nice pools, you kind of want to go for a little poop.
No.
No, but don't.
If anybody does in the next week, they're going to look at you.
Well, don't. I'm telling you not to do it. Here we go. But there's the devil on your shoulder saying, do it.
Her name is Ellie.
No.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9 CFMs.
There's a story breaking over in the US which doesn't happen every day. A Virginia woman was enjoying a margarita at a Mexican restaurant when a baby snake fell from the ceiling above her, bounced off her forehead, and then landed splush into her drink.
Oh, nice sound effect.
Thank you.
I like that little addition.
Well, I knew you'd have nothing ready for it.
Painted a picture.
You never have your sound effects ready. You've got like 15,000 at your fingertips.
I do, but I've got sound effects from this exact story up my sleeve to play for you in a second.
Okay, well, we're talking about the snake itself because it landed in her margarita. Mm-hmm. She's then turned around and kind of screamed, excuse me, get the snake out of my drink.
Fair.
And at the end, they've said, look, do you want us to move you to another table? And unfortunately, Carletta Andrews has said, no, I just wanted to leave.
Yeah, she said she left. She was shaking. She was very concerned about the whole thing.
A part of the article, too, that got me was the reporter's attention to detail. Have a listen.
You could say Carletta Andrews is still rattled by what happened to her last Wednesday.
I love it when reporters do this. They try and sneak some little puns into a story.
So good.
In the same article, which by the way, this video, this news report, went for like 5 minutes. They did a full investigative launch into this thing.
I think it was a slow news day.
It must have been. This is another line that got dropped.
A Richmond woman says she came to this Mexican restaurant for a margarita and instead she left with a side of snake.
That's not even a good one. The rattled by it, I'll pay that.
You'll pay that?
Right. That second one is there's no good.
A side of snake. Ugh. So we thought it's time for a good old-fashioned pun off.
Pun off. Do you want me to start?
Yeah, and feel free to get involved, Sunny Coast. If you've got a snake pun that involves a snake falling in a margarita, 545-11919.
Okay, what about this? The staff come over and go, oh, yeah. How would you rate that drink on a scale from 1 to 10?
Oh, because snakes have scales.
Yeah, you don't need to just...
Oh, sorry.
You don't need
to
explain
it. Okay.
It's just that's what comedy is.
Yeah. Well, you might need to explain this one because it's a thinker. The snake just wanted a sip.
Oh, sip.
Yeah.
No good. A
couple of mine have got
Do they get better?
Not really.
Okay. What about this one? The margarita has a real bite to it. Simple.
Yeah, simple.
Better
effective.
Than side of snake that they used.
I could see it. Yeah, I could see it on the news for sure. Okay, you need to know your shots to get this one.
Oh, this is a liquor gag.
Yeah, this is a liquor gag. So, kids, maybe cover your ears for this one. It thought the drink wasn't a margarita. It thought it was a slithery nipple.
Why would you...
That's a type of cocktail.
Is it? I hope.
Or maybe a shot.
I hope so. It caused absolute hysteria.
Oh, yeah. I had something like that in there. Yeah.
Did you?
Women who was hysterical when she noticed a snake in her drink.
My last one is I don't think she's a fang of that restaurant anymore.
Oh, I hate that one.
No, that's good.
No. Do snakes really have fangs?
Yes, they do. That's where they get the venom.
Do they?
From.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. I mean, good one.
Oh, that's because snakes have scales, right?
What about this one? This one's my favourite.
Okay, we're ending on a high.
Yeah,
here.
We're ending on a high. Plot twist.
Oh, no, you've stuffed it. Hang on, start again.
Okay,
start again. We're ending on a high. Snake puns. She's had a snake fall from the ceiling, bounce off her forehead, into her margarita. Ellie, go.
Plot twist. It was a venomous snake and it wanted tequila.
That's good.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9.
See you. Play some Bando.
That was the loudest thing in my headphones ever. But it is our favourite game. Every day, a mystery song to be guessed. Today, we are going back to the year 1993. a good year to be born for old Tassie boy.
Cute. That was your birth year.
545-11919 when you think you know what this 90s song will be. We're going to play it layer by layer. It's going to be drums, bass, electric guitar, piano, and then eventually the voice over.
Alrighty. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm 2 from 2 this week.
Are you really?
And yesterday's was from 1969. It was the Beatles song.
Yeah, it was the Beatles. You were like, I don't know anything except the Beatles from the 90s.
I know, lucky it was a Beatles song. All right, let's go layer number one. I think I've got it. I just don't know what year that song came out. You got it?
Not often do the drums give it away, if that makes sense. Like, they're not iconic like this.
Mm. Ooh. Dun, dun. Dun, dun, fun, dun, 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 fun little bit of drums at the end there. Phone lines are lighting up.
Wow.
Is everyone onto it? Do we play another layer just cause, or do we go straight to the phones? I feel like it's a very quick round of bandle.
It is a very quick round of bandle. Okay.
Find other stuff to fill the show with.
Okay, play another layer. Oh, let the sunny coast kind of catch up.
All right, I guess. Yeah. All right, that's enough. Michaela in Sippy Downs, hello.
Hello.
Do you think you know that song?
Yeah, I reckon I do. I reckon. I don't know what it's called, but I know the words. Does that still count?
You got to sing it for us.
Only
that's
if
the rule.
You sing it in perfect pitch.
All right, can you play it?
No, because you have to guess it.
And I sing it. You play it and I sing it at the same time.
Oh, we can play the band or layer.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, go.
Well, that's the intro, but... Oh, that she wants is another baby. And she's gone tomorrow, but oh, that she wants is another baby. Yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, that's...
So sorry.
Don't worry, I'm not quitting my day job.
No, hey, you should, girlfriend, because that was perfect.
I thought you were saying she should quit her job just from pure embarrassment.
No.
From that.
Oh. Hey, never. Oh. There's no such thing as embarrassment on this show.
Never show my face again.
Yeah. No, Michaela, you did a beautiful job. You did it better than Ace of Base do it. So, well done.
It's Ace of Base, the sign.
The sign.
For those playing along at home.
Mm. Did I get it right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, kind of. You sang part of it. So, you didn't get the title or artist. That was the song. Yeah.
Yay!
My favourite part was when we clicked play and Michaela goes, this isn't the part that I want.
Yeah, sorry, can we just skip
this? This is the intro.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9
CFM. And I have a supermarket etiquette question to ask the people of the Sunshine Coast this afternoon, Tassie.
Yes.
And a $50 voucher to spend at the King's Beach Surf Club up for grabs for the best caller today, right?
Yeah, the new deck bar is now open. Get around it, Sunny Coast.
So I want you to think about what you do at the supermarket and what you think is not good for people to do.
Okay.
I was at Aldi the other morning and I wanted to get some Pink Lady apples.
Yeah.
And I was in the vegetable aisle and there was a woman who was crouched down at the apple section and she was going through looking for the right apple.
Mm-hmm.
Except she was touching every single apple in the carton. I kid you not. There was probably 30 apples on display.
Yes.
She touched every single one.
Was she... that's really wrong.
She picked it up, like felt it, kind of fondled it in her hand a little bit and then popped it back.
Don't use the word fondle.
I'm guessing, you know, checking for bruises, checking for ripeness,
yes.
All of that.
Yeah.
But it was every single one. And I
to me, an apple's an apple at that point.
Yeah. I'm not a germaphobe by any stretch, but I feel like that's touching too many apples.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you don't need to touch all of them. I think there should be a limit on how many times you can touch a fruit or vegetable.
Who's policing that? Fruit and veg police?
It's one of those things that's not illegal, just frowned upon.
Ah, yeah.
You know?
Look.
I think when I go, I'm a toucher. for sure. Like,
no,
I will.
You give terrible hugs.
No, well, of fruit.
Okay.
Like, I'll touch to see if an apple feels ripe.
Yeah.
But I'll only do it max three times. I've got, I eyeball three that I've got my eye on.
Yes.
I pick them up, I fondle them, and if they're no good, I'll put them back, but only twice. And then at the third one, that's the one I'm stuck with.
545-11919, Sunny Coast. Where do you sit on this? How many times can you touch supermarket fruit and veg? Have you got a system?
Yeah. Maybe you are a not toucher at all. Are you saying you're not a toucher?
I don't mind touching if you don't eat the outside of the thing. So bananas, go for your life. Who cares? You're peeling it. Go for it. Avocado's the same. Go for it. You can have a little squeeze, a little fondle. That's fine.
Again, it's limited three times, no matter what.
Even with avocados?
Yeah.
No, you're crazy.
Oh, actually, sorry. Sorry. I take that back. Not with avocados. That's the exception to the rule.
Avocados are the only exception?
You need to squeeze an avo.
You need to put avos and bananas in the same box because you consume them the same way.
But you don't need to touch a banana to know how ripe it is. You can see it.
Avo, but...
You're right. Did you just correct yourself?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't peel an avocado, but what I mean. You don't have the skin, so it's fine. Who cares whatever people are doing to the outside? You're not eating the outside of your avocado.
All right, well, let's put it to the people. 545-11919. Weird question. How many times can you touch the fruit or veg? We're discussing fruit and vegetables at the supermarket this afternoon because I witnessed someone having a fondle, for want of a better word, of... a multitude of apples. Every single apple in the carton was touched.
You could have searched for a better word, but you've stuck with fondle.
It's the perfect word.
It sure is. You know? I know.
I think you should stop. You should stop your touches at three. You can pick three pieces of fruit to touch,
yes.
And then that's it. You're done with your
fondling. I don't touch. I will just, if I touch, I take.
Oh,
so
you're straight in and
straight
out.
So if I need three tomatoes or whatever, I will look from a distance.
It's Russian roulette.
And I'll check it out. I'll go by colour and I'll go by skin texture and I'll go, yeah, I want that one. Grab in my bag.
It's like when you play Jenga and the one you touch is the one you have to take.
100%.
Yeah. It's a risky way to live.
The fruit and veg section like I play Jenga. You heard it here first.
Charlotte in Biwa, how do you play the fruit and veg section?
I actually didn't know it was a thing to touch apples.
To what, sorry?
I didn't know it was a thing to touch apples.
Oh, really? Well, yes. You're learning something new here today, Charlotte. How do you touch your apples?
I don't. My daughter just picks them up and takes a bite out and I end up having to pay for multiple apples.
I used to do that when I was a kid, to be fair. I don't think my dad enjoyed it very much.
No, it's not very fun having to pay for six half bitten apples.
Oh, do you ever get in trouble for that? Like, do you get dirty looks from the cashiers or do they get it?
I don't make eye contact.
Put them on the conveyor belt face down.
Neither does Ellie while she's fondling all the fruit and veg, to be fair.
You know I only fondle three, okay? I draw a line at three fondles. Catherine in Nambour, tell us, what are your thoughts on this issue?
I have to agree with you, Ellie. I think if you were going to touch that many, at least to bring a glove and touch it, or use a plastic bag and touch those that many, is how I looked at that.
Imagine getting into
Michael Jackson going to Coles, and he's just put the glove on, and he's going to be touching all the fruit and veg.
Imagine getting into someone's car, seeing a glove there, and being like, oh, what's that for? Oh, it's just for picking my apples at the shops. Like...
I was using the plastic bags in the COVID time, so I would be using the plastic bags to pick up all my fruit and veg because I would not touch it.
That was a weird time, wasn't it?
That was a weird time.
It was a really bad time.
We didn't really know where COVID was or what it was.
Yeah.
And we just thought it was on every surface.
I cleaned my kitchen during that time.
Surfaces were the enemy in the COVID times.
Crazy. All right. Good idea, Catherine. You're free to fondle if you've got a plastic bag on your hand. I like that little tip.
Hashtag free fondle. CFM.
Let's move on. Daniel in Watala. Tell us, have you got a rule when it comes to fondling vegetables?
Well, I try not to fondle a vegetable. But sometimes, you can't help yourself.
Yeah, sometimes it's required.
Well, that's it. But I think actually you're focusing on the fondling too much because
I've got an analogy for you. It's the same, but different.
Yeah.
It's like you invite your friends around, they come swimming in your pool. You know they're weeing in your pool, but no one says anything because you can't see it. But if someone walked up and just weed in your pool off the side, you'd lose your mind. But they're still peeing in your pool. It's the same, but different. So just don't notice the fondling or enjoy the fondling.
Oh, so just turn a blind.
Happen whether you like it or not.
Turn a blind eye to the fondle is your philosophy. Yeah.
You just got to let the fondling happen, smile, and just enjoy.
For those just tuning in, I feel like I need
the same thing.
I just feel like I need to clarify for anyone just tuning in. We are discussing fruit and vegetables and nothing
that's
else.
Right.
I don't think that's helping, but anyway.
Okay.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks. He's wrapping us up. Right. He said his piece.
He's
thanks,
come
Dan.
In. Confucius say, don't focus on the fondle. That's so good.
Look, we've probably got time for Olivia from Warana.
Oh, hello. You hate that
I
suburb.
I hate Warana. Not
can't
the suburb,
say
but the
Warana.
Name. It's tough. Olivia, thoughts on this? How many touches are too many touches?
Okay, I've got to be honest. I'm one of the ones that touches all of them.
Okay,
every
Liv,
single one.
Liv, stop the show. Liv, take us through it. Why?
I'm going to be spending my money on it. I've got to get the perfect one. And I do feel guilty doing it, but I've got to get it.
Were you in Aldi Maruchador 2 days ago? Was it you?
That might have been me.
It might have been.
We found the apple toucher. What were you looking for in the pink ladies, Liv?
I'm looking for the crisp, no bruises. And if I feel one, it's going back down. I don't care if it's the 100th one.
What other things are you fondling, Liv, in the fruit and veg section?
Oh, God, okay, thank you.
Personally, tomatoes. I don't like any spots on the tomatoes. They've got to be fresh as well. So 50 go up, 50 go down.
There you go. We've caught the fondler, the Maroochydore fondler.
No, that's not it.
Ellie and Taz on 91.9
CFM.
That's it for Ellie and Taz today. If you missed anything, download their podcast. Search Ellie and Taz in your podcast app. 91.9 CFM.